this morning. Charlie told us Wednesday night as he was giving us the announcements that it was December. And sure enough, it is December. It's amazing how fast this year has gone by for me personally. I realize it can be different for others. Most people agree it just flew by. We are in December of 2021. And for us here at Northwest, we are at the conclusion of the top 10 hymns and all that took place throughout this year together as we looked at the top 10 hymns that were chosen by the members here at Northwest. And so what I'd like to do is recap some of these things that we have talked about, studied, gone over together, and just reiterate the beautiful message that's behind God's Word as He's called us as His children to come together and to sing to one another and to sing to Him. And as we step into this lesson and begin it today, I have to start by saying thank you, and I mean thank you to so many. We need to thank Gail Rusk. I do. Gail was the one who brought this to the elders and thought that it would be a good idea to look at the hymns that we sing and to see where these hymns fit at Northwest. So we want to thank Gail Rusk for offering this suggestion to us, and then certainly the elders, because as this was presented to them, they needed to think about that, weigh out the good versus the potential bad, and decide whether or not this would be good for this local church. They decided it was good, and I wholeheartedly agree at the conclusion of these studies with all of you. It's good for us to look at the hymns and the words that we sing to each other. I have to thank the members. There are so many here who participated and who gave their list. Many of you, as I've mentioned through this series, have given notes on the side, the comment section, to say something very personal, knowing that those would be read by me and certainly Jason Rallett, a few others. By the way, Jason, thank you for your good work in helping with all of this. We wouldn't have the top 10 without Jason and his computer ability. Did I say that right? Technological? Well, he says it works. But thank you for that, and thank you for the members for patiently going through all of this with us. I want to thank our kids as well. They also were asked to give their top three. Many, if not all, offered their top three songs, children's songs. And Ron Roberts, if you recall, was the one who presented that lesson. He did a marvelous job, and I'm thankful to Ron. I wish he was still here. He was just with us. But I want to thank Ron for his sermon and the time it took for him to prepare that and to deliver that to all of you. I have to thank our song leaders, because this was different. We had to talk. We had to communicate with each other about the particular hymn and the way we wanted to present the hymn. Sometimes it would be first. Sometimes it would be multiple verses broken apart throughout the sermon. Sometimes it would just be the invitation song. And so we talked about that. We tried to decide how best that would be laid out as we looked at the hymn itself and the words of those songs. So again, a lot of thought and effort from our song leaders. Thank you all for the work that you have done. Last but not least, I need to thank those men back there, the sound booth. I think they got the most pressure from me out of everyone, because I was real worried about whether or not they had the song up before it was time to reveal. Remember when we started this, that I had like the drum roll kind of feel where it's like, here we go, this is number 10, this is it, are you ready? I can't do that if they've already got it up there somewhere. And so I am harassing them. Let me see the slides. Let me see. Did you do it the way I asked? I have all these details in the email. Did you do it the way I asked? And they always did. And if they didn't do it right, they covered it up well enough that I didn't know about it. So kudos to the sound booth. And really, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate the work that you put into this study and this series of studies. What I want to do is I want to give you the top 10. As we have them in order, beginning with number one, just so that you have them, we can think about that again, the ones that made it. And I do have the list if anyone requests it later. Number one, It Is Well With My Soul. Number two, Our God, He Is Alive. Number three, Amazing Grace. Number four, This World Is Not My Home. And number five, Because He Lives. It's interesting looking at the top five and the way that those are written. It is well with my soul because our God, He is alive. And because of His amazing grace, this world is not my home, because He lives. I think that's really neat. That is beautiful. Number six, The Battle Belongs to the Lord. Number seven, Be With Me, Lord. Number eight, In Christ Alone. Number nine, How Deep the Father's Love. And number 10, Dare to Stand like Joshua. Again, we had the three songs that were selected by our children. Here they are in order. Number one, number two, number three, Jesus Loves Me, the fruit of the Spirit. Number three was the wise man built his house upon the rock. Think about these songs and how phenomenal they are. Just look at the children's songs and how much weight is in those words to the songs that we sing with our little ones and the songs that we sing to one another, always rooted in God's truth. And we proclaim it vocally by the wisdom of God. There's harmonies involved. We're a tenor, bass, altos, sopranos. They're sitting close enough to each other to hear each other and to kind of feed on that. It is a beautiful picture of every individual heart praising God with their heart because of His will, that this is the way that He wants it to be done. It is amazing. We are, as you already know, commanded to sing. And again, I think that's God's wisdom. The fact that He has implemented each and every stone, living stone, each and every priest, each and every person, each and every member of the church is called upon to sing to the Lord and to sing to one another. Ephesians 5 and verse 15, look at it with me. We want to read the Word of God together. We want to see this for ourselves. We're going to be Bereans this morning to study the Scriptures, to know whether or not these things are true, and then to move forward based on what God has told us. Ephesians 5 and verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So don't be unwise. Understand God's will. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And what does that look like, to be filled with the Spirit? How does God show us? What's the evidence of being Spirit-filled as a Christian? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So here's a picture of a member of the Lord's church who has been saved by God's grace, and their sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are now brought into the fold of God. They are lambs of God, children of God. They are His sheep, and He is their shepherd. And He says to them, now, to be filled with my truth, one evidence of this truth that I have given to you, that you're to live by every day of your life, one way that it's manifested in each one of us as a group is in song. We come together and we sing. Now, for me, it really does take some preparation to have the right heart, right mind, the right attitude when we begin to sing together. I want to think about the Lord, His power, His salvation, that I'm saved because of Him, not because of me. I know who I am. But He's shown me who He is, and now that I know who He is, I have an opportunity to sit with the saints and to sing to our God together, because we're all in the same boat. Everyone has a different list of the things they've done or not proud of or ashamed of, but we are all in the same boat under God. We were sinners, we were jerks, going to hell. And He came into our world and He saved us. And so based on that understanding of salvation, God's given that to me, and I want to say something to Him. And God says, I want you to. Say it together. Sing it together. Proclaim it from your heart. And there's this amazing picture. Sometimes when we talk about singing and instrumental music and those kind of conversations, you know, we hit it hard with the truth of God, which we should. We're commanded to sing, not to play. And so we beat that drum when we explain. But we're saying to them, we don't have authority to use instrumental music, so we don't. I would submit to you there's something far greater going on when children of God who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ want to obey, that will never allow an instrument of music to come in and to accompany what God's told us to do without His permission or the authority that He's given to us. Because now there's something about us that's tied to it. That's not what He told us to do. He told us to sing. And we say, oh, we'll still sing, but we're going to do this. Whatever it is, you just add whatever it is you think that people want to see. Once we add that, we've changed what He says He wants. That removes a level of gratitude I'm supposed to have for God, and appreciation and understanding that when He says, do it this way, that I am just sure that he's wise enough to not have missed anything. He knows what he wants. He's told us what he wants. And so again, Christians with the right heart and attitude to come in together and to sing. Look how Paul gets us ready for this idea of sing with thanksgiving in your heart, making melody in your heart. Sing to one another in spiritual hymns and songs. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Watch where this comes from. Verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." See that idea? We were once darkness, we were once in sin, but we are now light in the Lord. We're to walk as children of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." See that? We're looking for, we want to know what God wants. We want to know what pleases Him because we're excited to do it. Verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So there's this work taking place for us, certainly in the Lord's church, but also as individuals out in the world, that we're opposing sin. We are the light of God, and so we don't just go along to get along, but we expose those things that are evil and that are dangerous and that cause people their souls. We expose the wicked deeds of men by the light that God's given to us, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." You see, we are children of light. All things that are manifest by the light. The light of God brings everything out into the open. And because we were once in darkness and the light has shined upon us, that we have an understanding about God and who He is and what He wants. And so when we come into this building today, having fought the battle through the week, being light of God and opposing those things that are wrong, and now joining together, probably exhausted spiritually from the work that's required to fight against the darkness, to expose. And when you expose darkness as light, as living light, you expose yourself to what you believe and to what you stand for, and you become a target. And we work through that throughout the week, sometimes all by ourselves. And then we come back on Sunday and we sing songs like, "Our God, He is alive." It has to matter to us. We are not in darkness. We are in the light. And these things are the foundation of all that we are. And so we cry this out together. I'm saying it to you. You're saying it to me. We're saying it together to God, because we are fighting that fight and we need these moments together. You know, 1/3 of our worship service is song. About 1/3 of the time that we're here together, sitting in these pews or standing, we're singing together. Imagine if you had just decided that you're just not going to, you know, just don't want to sing. I'm worried I'll offend someone or whatever the reason may be. You've excluded yourself from 1/3 of the service that God's called you to be a part of. And again, there's a misunderstanding on your part or on my part when I say, I'm not going to sing today. I realize that there's health issues, concerns with the throat, the voice. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about just a determination not to sing. That you've excluded yourself from 1/3 of the service. We are to speak to one another, not to sit quietly and be spoken to, but there's an interaction there that God expects from us, and we want to follow it. So you see that? We say to someone, we don't use instrumental music because we stand on the truth. And then you come in and say, "I ain't singing this song. I thought you stood on the truth." You're right about the instrumental music. You were right. But to come in and to say, "I'm not going to do this," is wrong. For the same reason, you know, we have to proclaim glory, praise, and honor to God with our voices. And we see that in the scriptures over and over again. Sam read for us from Colossians 3. We'll read it again. Colossians 3, 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies." Again, think about what we're doing for ourselves in the process of God's instruction as we prepare ourselves to sing. "Put on tender mercies." Have I done that? "Put on kindness, put on humility, meekness, and long suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. I'm preparing myself to sing. I have aught against my brother that has been settled. We are one in Christ again. We're on the same page. Someone probably has repented, and the other one, most hopefully, has forgiven. And they're together now as the Lord's church. Christ forgave me, I've forgiven you, and we are right before God. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful for that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's how God expects us to do it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 11. We're picking up right here in the middle of an idea that's being established by the Hebrew writer. But he's telling them to walk away from the sacrificial system that was certainly instituted by God when He gave it to the children of Israel. These are Hebrews. And He says, we're going to leave that behind now because Jesus Christ is here. We're going to go to Him and we're going to suffer reproach, brothers in Christ, who are Hebrews. We're going to suffer reproach for that very reason. So picking up in verse 11, He says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, they're burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. He's speaking to the Hebrews. Let's go outside of the camp. We're going to leave Israel and the teachings and the ceremonial laws, and we're going to go to Jesus, who is outside the camp, to bring both together as one, Jew and Gentile. And we're going to have to bear His reproach when we go outside the camp. The Hebrews, that was certainly true. It's going to be trouble with those who know you and have grown up with you. For here we have no continuing city. Here's why. There's no continuing city here. But we seek the one to come, which He had described in earlier chapters. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You see verse 15, by Him, by Jesus Christ, whom we have gone out to, let us continually, constantly offer the sacrifice. We think, oh, sacrifice, what do I have to do? Praise. The sacrifice of praise. It is humbly setting myself aside and saying, this is what God wants from me. I know what He's done. And so I offer praise to Him. I want Him to know. I want Him to hear me. I'm constantly with outstretched neck waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. But now here with my brethren, He's told me to sing, to be thankful to Him. And He calls it, the Hebrew writer calls it, the fruit of our lips. We want to bear the fruit of righteousness. We want to have evidence in our life that this is something I participate in, I'm involved in, because God has called me to do that. It is the very fruit. And it goes back to the person who says, look, I was kicked out of choir like four times. They don't want me in there because I can't hold my pitch. Can you show me the verse where that's required by God? I'm not just talking to the person who says, I'm excused because I can't sing. I'm not just talking to that person, although I am. I'm talking to the other person who thinks, this guy sits behind me, this tone deaf guy sits behind me one more time, I'm gonna go berserk. Or to hold one ear and, you know, turn your head towards the person who's not doing very well in our mind, block them out so I can hear the right pitch and so I can sing beautifully. That's such an ugly thing. Again, we're not following what the scriptures teach. if someone says, I'm going to cry out to God, I'm going to glorify God with my voice, God says it's the fruit of our lips. Why would a Christian take it upon themselves to say, that's awful? Because of earthly things? Because of my deep understanding of music theory? What a shame. That's not humble at all. We don't want to discourage our brethren from doing what God has commanded them to do with us as one body. I'll tell you something else about singing is that it's a blessing. We are blessed when we sing, and I hope to show that to you in the book of James. Look at James chapter 1. When you decide to sing praises to God, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and you decide to speak to one another in this godly instruction, that you're doing what God's commanded you to do. Watch James 1 and verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see that? We are blessed when we sing according to God's will, because we've read it in his word, and we understand that he's commanded us to do it, and we are participating. If you are a hearer of the word and a doer, you are blessed in doing it. To hear the word and not do anything about it is deception. It's self-deception. And you are not pleasing to God. It is crystal clear there. Be a doer of the work. If you will continue, the passage says, in the perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, you will be blessed in what you do. We are blessed when we sing. And we are blessed in our singing. And there's another idea here that we can't miss. I think I've touched on it some, but Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment of all, what is it? And you'll remember his response to that question, Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus says in answering of the question, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the greatest commandment that there is. And as I've tried to point out as we go through this, that the Lord knows, and we do too if we're watching carefully, but the Lord knows when we're singing just because we're singing. Like sometimes we're singing a hymn and my mind, my heart is elsewhere. And I'm guilty of that for sure. I know this song. I love the hymn. I love the part that I sing. And so I'm excited about that. But I'm thinking about the groceries, the grocery list. I shouldn't say the groceries. I don't go get the groceries. The grocery list. Or I'm thinking about the new scratch on my truck that's got me bent out of shape. I can sing words. I can appear to be rich in the wisdom of Jesus Christ and my heart not be tied into that. Well, God knows that. So again, it's got to be a really settling issue for us that when we've come to sing purposefully. We're going to sing together, and we're going to do it in the right heart and the right spirit. I've given God my whole life, my whole heart, and my whole soul. Nothing is taken from Him. Nothing is reserved. And there's a great danger there. If we don't use this principle and apply it in our lives, there's a great danger we face that Jesus addresses in Matthew 15 and verse 8. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. What's the conclusion of that statement? Their heart is far from me. So the conclusion is wrong if you think, well, I've got to sing now because Danny's going to be watching us. You know, after this lesson, I get to stand and look at all of you. And I'll be looking and watching your faces, checking my box. You better be singing. So you know the problem with that. If I'm checking a box and you're like, oh, he's looking my way, ba, 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 that you're not glorifying God with your heart. You're not where you're supposed to be. And neither am I, by the way. If I'm checking a box, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. My job's not to monitor you. My job is to understand what God's done for me personally and to say this is an opportunity to gather with the brethren and to praise God as one body. We don't want to honor him with our mouth and our lips and our heart be completely checked out. That is broken, and God will not accept it. We know that. Look at Psalm 28. I'm going to give you several psalms here as we begin to close, because the psalmist cares a lot about song, the effect that it has for himself, and the way that God feels about it. We'll see it in these passages. Psalm 28 and verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. That is the conclusion. He heard the voice of my supplications. I've prayed all week. I've begged God for help. I've asked for strength and encouragement and assistance in things that I need and that I care about. He has heard my voice. He's listened to my supplications throughout each of those individual prayers. And because my heart rejoices because of the God I serve, I come now with the saints. I can do this by myself, but in the moment of services together, I have an opportunity to proclaim his great and awesome power. With my song, I will praise him. You know, when I was younger, a lot younger, I was probably 10, 11 years old, all the kids sat in the same pew, and pretty much almost to the front, all the way to the front, maybe the first or second pew. And there were certain songs that spoke to me as a child. I love music, and I think that's a benefit for me because I enjoy it anyway. But as a kid and listening to others sing and trying to figure out what part I was going to sing, I enjoyed all of that. And so the children that I sat with, they sang as well. And we really let the song leader have it. You know, we let him know, we're with you, brother. And we sang with all of our heart. What happened with me, the other kids never did it, but what happened with me is after we sit down and it's time for the preacher to preach or there's a prayer, you know, I'm still humming the song because I'm really into it, not knowing that I'm doing it out loud. And so the Christian lady who's kind of got charge over the kids gives a little thump, you know, something hits me. And I'm like, who's hitting me during a prayer? And I look back and she's like, shh. And you know, really, I think, you could hear that? Is it my fault that a hymn has gotten a hold of me? Ring out the message? Are you kidding me? That is an awesome song. And they just want us to stop and be quiet. That's not fair. Trust and Obey, favorite song of all time as a child. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Trust and obey. Our God, he is alive. How great thou art. When those songs ended, we sat down, we were told to be quiet, and I was still, ring out, merrily ring the news, da na 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 na. Oh, and somebody bumped me. Shh. And I really, honestly, almost every time that it happened, I thought it was just up here. But those things are supposed to come out. They're supposed to be with what God expects them to be, and that is our moment. You know, it's not the critical, which song is this? How many verses are we singing? It is the, let's do this. I've been all week by myself. I've been a sheep out in the wilderness, and I'm back with the flock. And we love God. We love our shepherd, and it is a time. It is time to sing to him and let him know together how much we love him. I want to say, too, before this ends and this series ends, that I appreciate this local congregation. Many of you know this already. You deserve to be commended. You deserve applause for the good singing that you're involved in when we gather together. One of the main things that's mentioned to me from visitors who come is the singing is phenomenal. And that's a side note, really. We don't sing to impress visitors, but it is a beautiful thing. Because for me, being a part of a relatively small congregation, or maybe just 10 or 12 members, most of them at the age of 60 or older, that we have one song leader. And we sing the seven songs we actually know. And that happens every week. And so that, you know, that's what you do. That's okay. We're singing to God. We're doing what he's told us to do. But when an individual who worships in a congregation of that size and with those challenges And they come to Northwest because they're going through town. And they hear the saints here because we're larger in number, because we've discussed this at length, and we are determined to give our very best to God. You know, imagine the impact it has on someone to just say, man. And to be excited to be a part, to cling to us in that day and in that moment, and to sing with us. And to get a glimpse, all of us to get a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. It's a picture, it's a shadow of what's coming when we stand with all of the saints through all of human history who have loved God and given their hearts to Him. We will stand together, and there will be not one whose heart is not God's. Not one. Because He says, well did Isaiah prophesy that your heart was far from me when you faked what you were doing. The ones who will sing before God in heaven will be wholly His. What a moment. With a new body and a voice given to us by God, we are going to sing. And it is going to be awesome. He wants us to do it now. He wants us to set the tone in our lives, to sing to Him, to think about who He is, who we are, and what He has done for us. I promised several psalms. Psalm 104. Psalm 104 and verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. That is a beautiful passage. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. As long as I can breathe, I'm going to sing to God. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 146. Psalm 146 in verse 2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. It's the very exact same sentiment. As long as I'm here, I will be praising God. This is someone who understands, who's filled with the rich wisdom of Jesus Christ. I know what's going on here. And I offer God everything, all of my thanks, all of my gratitude to the very best of my ability. One more for you, Psalm 147 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Again, from God's perspective, this inspired passage given to us says, praise the Lord because it's good to sing praises to our God. God's told us it's good to sing. It is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Again, we have someone who's prepared their heart to be with the saints to sing today. The moment is now. It's upon us. God says that your praise to Him offered with the right heart is pleasant and it is beautiful. Let's join together. Let's be pleasant and beautiful before our God as we sing praises to Him. And at the same time, remember, we're singing to one another. We are offering an invitation for those who need to come and to obey Jesus Christ, to be baptized, to repent of their sins, to turn away, to confess His name, the great and glorious name, the only name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved. There's an opportunity to do that, to know that you are saved through that watery grave of baptism. You are a child of God. We're going to sing together as the Lord's church. We're going to praise God. And we hope that as we do that, you are urged on to be faithful to Him, to get the help you need, to let us know if there's anything we can do to assist you in your walk with the Lord. Come forward while